Welcome to those that are joining us. We're continuing in the book Restore My Soul, Meshivas Nefesh, the section that deals with excerpts from Likutei Halachos. We're up to paragraph 93, Tzadik Gimel, which is based on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Hilchas Reishis Hagez, Halacha Gimel, paragraphs 4, 5, and 6. Kol ha-techochois she-Hashem Yisborach moichiach es Yisroel v'chol ha-bezioinois she-mevazois am-lefomim b'derech b'izoyin. All the times that we find throughout the Torah that Hashem reprimands the Jews and insults the Jews at times, sometimes the reprimand comes off insulting, HaKoyel Toiva Gedoyla is all a tremendous benefit to us. Kedei lelamed aleihem zchus v'chesed, kedei sheyashuvu elav bemes. Hashem's intention is in order to be able to find merit in us and in order to awaken kindness that's needed to enable us to do a true tshuva, a true repentance. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this. Ki lefomim, kishe Yisrael mekalkalen maseen moed moed, at shekimat ein nikar mat hatoiv shebohem, meoitzem ribui hapshoem vakilkulem rachmona letzlan. At times, when the Jewish people messed up in a very, very big way, to the point where it was almost impossible to be able to find good points, a little bit of good in us, because of the fact that there was so much pesha, so much sin, and so much kilkul, so many things that were messed up. Ve'im yirtza Hashem Yisborach lelamed aleihem zchus al yidei mat hatoiv shebohem, and if Hashem were to attempt to try to speak good on our behalf by referring to the little traces of good that were still found in us, Yisoyeru hamekatregim chas v'shalom, this would bring about a response from the prosecution. Ve'yimtzu keneged ze alofim pomim lehefech chas v'shalom, and the prosecution would be able to bring 1,000 negative points for every positive point that Hashem would try to bring up. Avol Hashem Yisborach chofetz chesed hu. However, Hashem really wants our benefit. V'yafal pikein hu roitze bi'amoy. And Hashem wants our success. He wants us, the Jewish people. V'chofetz lahatoy simoim klapi chesed. And he's always looking to lean towards the side of kindness on our behalf. Oz betuvoi v'chochmosai haniflo, hu bi'atzmoi mevazes Yisrael betachles habizoyen. And therefore, what Hashem goes ahead and does is, with Hashem's goodness and wisdom, He Himself insults us in a very derogatory manner. At shoymer aleim shekvar hemetzlo chas v'shalom kamoi kol homois, to the point where at times Hashem will say, "You're just like the rest of them. You're just like the other nations." Me'achar shekvar kilkulu kol kach, because of the fact that we've messed up so much. V'tekef she'Hashem Yisborach mahapech hadovar v'omer al Yisrael she'em kemoi humois mamish. And when Hashem does that, when Hashem compares us to the other nations, azai tekef nizgale v'nisrael yidei zedaike amitas hanakudos toivos shebohem, that really brings to light the good points that are found in us and how, despite everything, we're quite different from the other nations. Ki bevadai betchilo loyhoya nechshav hatoiv shebohem klal at shekemat loyhoya nira klal. Because certainly in the beginning, when Hashem first started analyzing our deeds, our misdeeds, and all the terrible things we've done, at that point, the little bit of good that's found is almost negligible in comparison. כי בוודאי לפי קדושת ישראל בשורשם, אזי אפילו אם אין פויגמן כל יום עברה כחוט עשי רחס, הוא גם כן פגם גודל ונוי רמויד. Because if we want to look at the source from which the Jewish souls come from, they come from such a high place, such a holy place, that based on that, the tiniest infraction, the tiniest impurity, the tiniest sin should be considered a major, major catastrophe based on where we're coming from, based on the level of purity that our origin, our roots have. Ki Yisroel heim rechoikim legamri me'ovoin u'mikol minei pegomim. Because a Jewish neshama, a Jewish soul, is something that's so far by its nature from sin or from doing things that chas v'shalom are against Hashem. Mikol shken kishepoigmim chas v'shalom yoyser michut asayra. So therefore, if a person not only just does a sin or a little sin, but the person does more than that, and especially if it goes still further, where a Jew amasses a lot of sins, to the point where the negative outweighs the positive in a big way, בפרט כי גם מה תטויב בעצמו אמורו בפסוילס הרבה, especially since even the little bit of good that's there, even that has bad mixed in with it. Even the good deeds aren't completely pure good, but unfortunately there were different intentions and all kinds of things that put a stain even on the good deeds. עוז בוודאי כשירצה השם יזבורך להסתכל על עצם ריבוי הפגומים שלהם לפי קדושת ישראל, כפי מה שרואי להם ליאויס. So therefore, if Hashem wants to analyze the Jewish people based on the Jewish people alone, based on where we're coming from, what kind of place of holiness, and based on what Hashem's expectations are, and what we should be doing, and what we're capable of doing, עוז בוודאי כמעט אפס תקווה חס ושלום, then there's just about no hope. It'd be all over. אבל השם יסבורך רב חסד ואמס. However, we know that the Torah tells us Hashem is very great in his kindness. וחופץ בקיום העולם. And Hashem wants us to survive. He wants the Jewish people to survive and to succeed. ורק הוא יודע יצרנו. And only Hashem really understands how difficult a battle each and every single Jew goes through in dealing with his own evil inclination. והיכון הודום כובוש בוזה הוילם. And how a person living in this physical world is under so much stress and so much difficulty from all sides, so many different things that confuse a person and worry a person and mess a person up and cause mislead a person. Alkein, therefore, barachmov ho atzumim, hu biatzmoi mahapech hadover letoivas Yisrael, therefore Hashem, with his great kindness, Hashem reverses the picture for the benefit of the Jews, umaschil lahashvoisoisam lechol homois, and Hashem starts comparing us to all the other nations. As Hashem himself makes a statement, you're no better than the rest of them. Bibchinas, as we find in one of the famous haftorahs that we say after the Torah reading on a Shabbos morning, where the haftorah there begins with the words, Haloi kibnei kushiim atem li. Hashem says, you are like the Ethiopians. You're like the blacks to me. You're just like them. V'tekef kishemedame umashvoisim l'shar humois. And immediately, as soon as Hashem makes that comparison of saying, you're just like them, בוודאי הכל יוידו ויומרו בפה מולי, שעדיין יש חילוק רע ונפלא כרחוק מזרח ממערב, בין הגרוע שבישראל לבין עקום. Then immediately, everyone is forced to admit, even the prosecution, even those angels that are on the side of the prosecution against the Jews, are forced to admit, no, that you can't say. You can't say that the Jews are just like that. There's still a vast difference tremendous difference between the worst one among the Jews and a non-Jew. Ki keneged ho'akum nimtza tomid b'Yisrael kama se'orois anakudais toivois la'alofim ulevavavois. Because if you want to compare a Jew, even a Jew who's done things that aren't right, if you want to compare him to a non-Jew, putting them side by side, you're going to see that you can come up with many, many good points in the Jew that are not found on the other side. Ki afilu poishe Yisrael melei mitzvois kerimoin, kemaim rabbi senzach ravacha. Because the Gemara tells us that even the greatest sinners among the Jews are still packed with good deeds, like a pomegranate is packed with pits. This is a statement that the Gemara makes. We're talking about a book of truth. The Gemara, the Torah, is a book of truth. So again, to some people who are hearing this for the first time, this sounds like a very rash kind of statement and extreme. But the Gemara and the Torah show us many examples of many cases where a person can see major differences between a Jew and lahavdil a non-Jew. Even a Jew who's weak, even a Jew who doesn't do everything right, there are still many, you know, worlds of difference between the two. And especially those people that live among the non-Jews, Jews that come from places like Russia or other countries where they felt the hate and the persecution of non-Jews. They saw what non-Jews were capable of doing, whether it be illiterate non-Jews or scientists, as we saw in the not-so-recent past, during the Holocaust or other times. We see, unfortunately, what members of the other nations are capable of coming up with. Nimtza, shedaiko al yedei shemedame Yisrael lo'akum v'levnei kushiyim, aydei ze daiko mizgale u'meir le'ein koil, haschus v'atoiv shebohem. So therefore we see that when Hashem goes so far in insulting us, in reprimanding us, as to make such a statement, you're just like the other nations, by His making that statement, that itself brings to light the goodness and the merit of the Jews and how different they are from the rest. Ki keneged ho'akum bevadai amcha Yisrael kulam tzadikim. Because compared to the other nations, each and every single Jew can be registered as a good person. Ki kulonu manichen talisut filin b'chol yoyim. Umisanen b'yom ha-kippurim. Now here, Rav Nosson Zal is obviously referring specifically to observant Jews. When he's using the term Jews here, as we'll see in one moment, he's talking about at least people who have a connection to Torah, who observe the mitzvahs, even if they don't observe all of them, even if they're not, they're far from perfect. But he says, at least they all put on talis and tefillin, and they fast on Yom Kippur. V'yalkein, achar shomar hanovi haloi kebnei kushim, and therefore, immediately after the prophet makes this statement where he quotes Hashem saying, you're like the blacks, Chozer u'mesayim toich kedei dibur l'toiva. Immediately, the prophet throws in a praise and a good point about the Jews, k'mo shenemar sham, as it says immediately afterwards, Efes ki loi hashmed ashmed. However, I will not destroy you, but rather, bayoyim hahu okim esukas dovet hanayfolis. But rather, the time will come when I'm going to reinstate the tent of King David, meaning the holy temple, the Beis Hamikdash. Kidaiko al yedei shemahape chadovu romedame Yisrael akum chas v'shalom. Because specifically by this kind of thing, by Hashem going so far out to say to the Jews, so insulting an item, you're just like them, that's what brings to light, that's what makes it clear beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is some good in a Jew, even the weakest of Jews. It's the concept of a dark background. You have a dark background and you put something that's even not very light, you know, next to it. The fact that you're comparing it to that dark background obviously it shows that it's not the same. Vaideze yovoi moshiach veyokim es sukas tovet hanefoles. And this is actually what's eventually going to lead to the coming of Moshiach and to the reinstatement of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Moshiach hu mebechinas atik. Because the Torah tells us that Moshiach, the soul of Moshiach, comes from a place that represents the highest, highest level of kindness on the part of Hashem. Bechinas, as is written in the Navi, v'ad atik yoimen moto, referring to Moshiach's association with this level of atik, which is a term that's used to refer to the highest possible level of kindness on the part of Hashem. V'hu yoideya lelameid zchus al Yisrael. And Moshiach is the one who's going to be most capable of finding merit, identifying the good points in the Jewish people. Limtzoi kol hasarois toivoi sheb Yisrael, to find all the good hairs. We mentioned in the previous discussion that we had that even a hair, even when a Jew does the slightest thing that's like a hair, even that registers, even that is special in the eyes of Hashem. Sheze bechinas hachesed horav shel bechinas atik. This is that awesome kindness that's referred to by the term atik. Veze gamkein bechinas kro shmoi loyami. Ki atem loyami. And this is also what's referred to when the prophet says that Hashem says, you're not my people. V'tekev choyzer v'oimer. And immediately, the prophet says, v'hoyo bimkoyim asher yomer lohem loyami atem, yeyomer lohem b'nei kel choy. And in place of what will be said to the Jewish people, that they'll be told, you're not my nation, they'll be told that you are the children of the living Hashem. Hainu kanal, ki daiko al yedei ze nizgale oitze ma'alosom v'tifartum shel Yisrael keneged ha'amim. Because sometimes it takes Hashem making such a rash statement of saying, you're like that person, you're like that non-Jew, to reawaken and bring to light that's not really true. That can't be said. And as soon as we make the comparison, on the contrary, we see immediately that that's not so. And this could definitely apply it also in terms of relationships of people. Sometimes you could have a parent with a child or a friend and a friend who get into a conflict. They get into something where one is very, very upset at the other one. Person did something terrible. And sometimes the initial reaction to seeing the bad thing that that person did is saying, you're like a blank. You're like a dog. And sometimes, as soon as that statement comes out, if the person stops, even though it's in a moment of anger, sometimes it's in a moment when a person's not in fully control of what they're saying, a moment later, when the person is in a little bit of more control, the person stops to think of what they said and what kind of analogy they made and what they compared to. If they think a little bit and try to analyze it honestly, they see, well, that's not really true. It's not really that bad. It's bad. The person did something to upset me, to anger me. And human nature is such sometimes that when a person's angry, they say, I never had a good day with you. You know, I never saw anything. And the moment that word never comes out, if the person stops to think and be honest a little bit, they see that it's not the case. It's not the case. And therefore, that alone, sometimes, the fact that they made such a horrible statement, sometimes can swing things back. That once I let that word out, I made such a horrible statement, and I got it out of my system in a sense, now I can reassess the situation and look and say, it's not really so. And therefore, there is what to build with. There's a famous story about Rav Nosson Zal. He was a person who was known to watch every minute of the day carefully, not to waste a minute. He very, very calculated with his time. And one time, somebody told him that a fire had broken out a few blocks down from his house in the city that he lived in. And he said, I have to go see it. You know, this was, and the fire was over. So they were surprised. Some people like the excitement of the, here he was told already that it's over. And he said, I have to go see. So some of his students that were with him at the time accompanied him, and they went with him, and they saw him standing there for a few minutes watching, and he saw the people that had originally, the family that originally lived in the house, they were walking around among the destruction looking to find, you know, pieces, looking to find some pieces of wood that weren't burnt completely and put them aside, because obviously they knew that they have to rebuild. They're going to have to, live somewhere. So they were looking among the charred pieces of wood and among the destruction to try to find, what's left. Is that what could be used to rebuild with? And Rav Nosson Zal was staring at this intently. And then he said to his students, look at that. Look at that, because that's a tremendous, important message that each and every one of us has to apply in life. Very often, each one of us has a fire that breaks out. And there's an explosion, there's a destruction, certain destruction that takes place. And when that happens, it's very, very easy to make the mistake to cross that line and say, forget it. It's over. There's nothing that could be done to repair, to rectify. There's no way to rebuild. And he said, look at those people, look what they're doing there. Immediately, the fire just finished a couple of minutes. Right away, they're there looking to find Nekudas Tovos, to look to find what can we use to rebuild with. Even when a fire destroys, it doesn't destroy everything usually. And if you look carefully, you can find what to start rebuilding with. And sometimes what's rebuilt can be bigger and better and more beautiful even than the original structure. The next paragraph, Tzadik Dalet 94, is continuing from the same source in Likutei Avochos. Lefomim noifel odam b'daitoi kol kach at sheyef shelo lahachis es atzmoi b'shum dovor kilu ein boi shum toiv klal. There are times that a person feels so bad about their situation and so bad about where they're at that it's impossible to give the person any encouragement. It's because the person can't see anything good whatsoever, any iota of good in themselves or in their situation. Azay tzorech gamkein la'afoy chadovor u'lahaschel mitzad asheni v'lachshoy b'machshavtoy im kein kefidaiti ani kuloy ra legamri v'ein bi shum toiv klal v'oz daiko maschel lahargish bi'atzmoy hanekudas toivo shen tzu b'yadayim. Sometimes what a person needs to do in that situation is that if the person goes ahead and makes such a statement, there's nothing good. I haven't had a single good day since XYZ. Or there's nothing good. My situation is the worst that it could possibly be. Once a person makes that statement and lets that out, for the person to stop and play it back and hear exactly what they said. And sometimes just the fact that they said that, the fact that they went so far as to make such a statement, that shocks the person back to a reality of saying, maybe that's not 100% true. And to be able to start finding good points in their situation or in themselves. Ki keneged hagorua v'hora legamri bevada yimtza b'yatzmoy gam bo'itzim griyusoy kama v'kama nekudos toivos. Because compared to someone who is really all bad, I should be able to find within myself some traces of good where I can't really honestly say that I'm 100% all bad. V'cheinu gam ken l'gabi chaveroi. And the same thing applies regarding another person, a wife, a child, a friend, whoever it is that a person gets upset at, really angry at, that they're coming to a conclusion that this person is terrible. Because a Jew must try to be able to find good in everybody and to be able to judge every person favorably. And to be able to find the good that's found in another person. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, that even if you'll find a little bit of good, that alone already can take a person out of the category of Russia, Rasha means a person that's all evil, all wicked, and move him to a different place, to a new place. The next paragraph, 95, is based on a different chapter in Likutei Halachos. This time it's Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, the section that's based on Choshen Mishpat, and it's the laws of Eidus, Hilchas Eidus, the laws of witnesses, chapter 5, paragraph 9. Paragraph 9, and also we're going to have paragraph 11, 12, and 14. בתחילו היצור המחתי את סודום על ידי שקרוי, שמעת אויסוי בכמה מיני התויס. When a person's yetzahara, when a person's evil inclination tries to entice the person or convince the person to do something wrong, to do something bad, usually he comes at the person with lies, you know, trying to convince the person that this is really good for you, this is really wonderful, this is something that's going to lead to your success, your popularity, all kinds of things that really are out and out false, not true. And then, when the person goes ahead and follows that advice, follows the guidance of their evil inclination, goes ahead and does something terrible, then, then, this same Yetzirah, this same evil inclination, comes to the person and tries to discourage the person completely from repenting, from trying to improve things, trying to correct things, by telling the person, forget it. What you did took you completely away from Hashem, and you're so far that it's impossible for you to come back. Ubemes hu lehefech, whereas the truth is just the opposite. Because Hashem's kingdom is everywhere. Afilu bi'eser kisrin de misavuso, Rachmona Litzlan. Even in the 10 levels of impurity, just like we know that when we speak about holiness, holiness is sometimes described as 10 levels of holiness. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Keser, Chochma, the 10 attributes. So too, there are a corresponding 10 levels of impurity, of bad. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us that even within the 10 levels of evil, Hashem is found there also. K'may Shenemar, as the Torah tells us, Hashoichein itam besoich tumoisom. Hashem, who remains with us, who stays with us, even within impurity, even when we become impure. V'dor sh'rabbi sein v'zachon avrocha, and our rabbis tell us that besoich tumoisom means afilu kishehem tmeim shchino b'neim, that even when the Jewish people fall to levels of impurity, to doing the wrong thing, the Spirit of Hashem is still with us. V'ze Iker derech hatshuva she'osa Moshe b'arbom yoyim achroinim me'elul ad yom kippurim. And this is the essence of the repentance that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people in the final 40-day period from Rosh Chodesh Elul, from the first day of Elul, through Yom Kippur. This is when the Jews got involved in worshiping the golden calf, right after they had received the Torah on Mount Sinai on the holiday of Shavuos. Shortly afterwards, they stumbled and they fell and they went ahead and participated in idol worship. And then the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu worked at trying to achieve a forgiveness on the part of the Jewish people for 120 days. He went up to heaven once from the 18th day of Tammuz till Rosh Chodesh, the first time he went up to heaven was Shavuos, from the 6th day of Sivan, the 7th day of Sivan, and came down on the 17th day of Tammuz, when he observed that they were worshipping the golden calf, and that's when he broke the tablets. Then he went up to heaven for a second 40-day period, from Shivas or B'Tammuz, till Tu B'Av, till the 15th day of Av, and then he came down on that day, and then he came went up again for a third period of time. He went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Apologize. 17th of Tammuz till Rosh Chodesh Elul. Then he went up a third time from Rosh Chodesh Elul and came back down on Yom Kippur. That was the third period of 40 days when he finally brought back a complete forgiveness from Hashem. When Hashem agreed to say, I forgive the Jews completely. The message that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us is that Hashem is still with each and every single Jew, even the worst of the worst. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim in Psalms, that even if a person falls to the lowest level, Shoel, Hineko, Hashem is still there. V'chol zman shehodom choyzer zois bedaitoi, umachne zois beliboi behemes. And as long as a person reviews this in their mind, and they keep this thought in their heart, sheze bechinas v'azhora v'yodat ha'yoyim ki Hashem olakim v'ashmaim imar v'oretz mitochas. This is the concept where the Torah tells us that Hashem is always there in the heavens above and in the earth below, meaning Hainu Bechinas Emesak Shamayim Shamatov Atzia Shelineko. This is implying that no matter how high a person rises and no matter how low a person falls, Hashem is still there with them. Ki bevadai yeshloi tikva gedoyla, because there certainly is tremendous hope. Ki kol yemei chayov lizkois laderach tshuva bemes. Ki ze ikar derach hatshuva b'chodesh Elul shebechinas hanes mayam derach sheze soit kavonas el kemuva kavonas. This is the essence. If a person wants to be able to do tshuva, this is the most important point that they need to accept. They need to realize and accept that Hashem has promised us in the Torah that He's with us everywhere. Even when we stray, even when we go into the worst places, Hashem is there with us. And the moment that a person makes a decision that they want to come back, they want to correct things, Hashem is available, accessible, and the person can turn things around, usually quite easily, much more easy than the person would expect. And the most important point from what we just said, as to how it applies to simple people, huleida is to know, shafilu betoich metzulois yom hashoit v'moid al odom kamoin gali ayom mamish, that even when a person feels like they're in the ocean, and the ocean is tremendously turbulent, the waves are roaring, crashing, tremendous big waves rising up against them, bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Vatashlicheni metzula belavav yamim. Hashem, you throw me into the depths, into the heart of the sea. Afal pikein gam shom yesh derech unesiv tomid lo shuveilov. Even there, a person can find a path. The pasuk says, Hanoisim bayam derech, that Hashem has the ability to provide a path even in the sea for the person to return. By realizing and believing in this concept that no matter how high a person goes, they haven't passed Hashem in any way, Hashem is still there with them, and no matter how low a person falls, Hashem is right there with them. This is the secret that the Arizal describes when he speaks about the special kavanot, the special Kabbalistic thoughts that a person is supposed to apply to the month of Elul, which is the month prior to the High Holy Days. Bechinas haderechanal, this path, shekol adam yochel lizkoi seilav tomid b'chol mokim shu, which every single person has the ability to connect with, no matter where they're at, bifrat be'elul, especially during the month of Elul, which is a month that's designated as the month of repentance, Im yamin boze be'emes ubepshitus. If a person will believe and trust in the words that we're saying here with sincerity and with simplicity. The next paragraph, paragraph 96. Omru Rabbeinu Zichronu Levracha. Our rabbis in the Talmud teach us ואוידולי עדים נאמונים, אס אוריה ואס זכריה. Based on a statement in the prophets, Hashem says, I take to myself witnesses, trustworthy witnesses. One is the prophet Uriah, and the second is the prophet Zechariah. Uriah, Simon leZechira. Uriah is a proof that the words of Zechariah will also come to pass. Because just as the Jews saw that the prophecy of Uriah, who had prophesied that there's going to come a time that the Holy Temple is going to be destroyed, the Jews are going to be evicted from the land of Israel, and they're going to suffer greatly at the hands of their enemies, just like that prophecy was fulfilled, Kain tiskayim nevuas Zechariah shehisnabe al hagula v'al binyan beis hamikdash. So too, the prophecy of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, who spoke about the redemption of the Jewish people and about the rebuilding of the beis hamikdash, his words will also definitely come to pass. V'zeh ho'inyan hu bechlal u befrat. And this concept, the Gemara says, this appears in the Gemara, I believe, in several places. One of the places is at the end of Masechta Makos, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest rabbis of all time, was walking with some of his colleagues, and they came upon the site where the Beis Hamikdash, where the Holy Temple had been, and they broke out in tears. The other rabbis broke out in tears, and Rabbi Akiva smiled. And they said to him, what are you smiling about? He said to them, what are you crying about? So they said, look at this, the holiest place in the world. Look at what it's come to, a place that wolves are walking here, in a place where only the holiest Jew, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, was permitted to go on the Yom Kippur. So he said to them, I'll tell you what I'm smiling about. Until I saw this with my own eyes, this level of destruction, which was described by the prophet Uriah, a person could have had doubt about the prophecy of Zechariah, the prophecy regarding the rebuilding. But now that I saw with my own eyes how perfectly were fulfilled the words of Uriah, the destruction and the sad things that happened to the Jewish people at that time, this is what gives me confidence and trust that we will also definitely come to see the prophecy of Zechariah Navi be fulfilled also, where he said that there'll come a time that the Jews are going to be taken out of exile, be returned to the land of Israel, and their holy temple will be restored to its original glory, plus, plus. So Rav Nosson Zal tells us, this concept applies to the Jewish people as a whole, and it applies also to each and every single one of us as an individual. ובפרט גם כן לעניין גאולת הנפש של כל אחד מישראל ותיקון מעשיו. It applies to each and every single individual person's redemption and correcting of their misdeeds. שזה בחינס בניין בית המקדש בפרט, which is an aspect of that person's holy temple, that person's building their own בית המקדש, their own holy temple. כי בטבע הודם להאמין בה קלקול, דהיינו שמאמין שעל ידי מעשיו שאין המגונים קלקל ופוגם הרבה, שזה בחינס חורבן בית המקדש. Because most people find it natural to see the bad side of things, to be able to say, wow, I really messed up. You know, I've caused so much harm to myself, to other people. I've destroyed so much, meaning this concept of Churban Beis HaMikdash, that I've destroyed my holy temple or my potential holy temple. And what happens is, unfortunately, when a person dwells on that, when a person thinks that way only, then they get to a point where they feel that there's nothing to do. There's nothing that can be done. There's nothing I can do anymore. It's too late. It's impossible for me to go ahead and correct my life. כמוי כן יכולן לסכן גם כן ולהית of מעשו ולא שוב בתשובה שלמה עד שיסכן כל מה שפוגם. Whereas the truth is, a Jew is supposed to believe, realize, and have faith that just as I have the ability to destroy, to mess up, so too I have the ability to fix and to correct and to improve things and to do a complete tshuva to the point where I have the ability to go back and correct everything that I messed up. The adarabba, mida toiva maruba, and just the opposite. Rather than go by our nature, which is negative in many cases, just the opposite. The Torah tells us that Hashem's power to help a person do good is much greater and much stronger than Hashem's ability to allow a person to do bad.
וצריכן אונו לסחזק בכל פעם בביטוחן חוזק ברויב חסודו ורחמו יספורך.
And a person has to always seek encouragement and trust in a very powerful way in the great kindness of Hashem.
כי סויף כל סויף בוודאי נזכה לא שבל Hashem באמס.
That eventually, if I put in the effort, eventually I'll definitely succeed in returning to Hashem,
v'yibona beis hamikdash,
and my personal beis hamikdash, my personal holy temple, will be rebuilt, and the holy temple of the entire Jewish people will be rebuilt.
Kemoi shehivtichonu aydei kamo neviim v'tzadikim kemavur b'fnim,
as Hashem has promised us through many of the prophets and tzadikim that have brought us this message.
The next paragraph, 97, is still based on the same section of Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Edus, talking about testimony. HaToiro Nikreis Edus. The Torah is called testimony. That's one of the nicknames of the Torah.
Bechinas Shnei Luchois Edus. As we find in the Torah, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you two tablets of testimony.
Shnei Daika. Rav Nosson Zal says, note, Hashem gave two,
ki tzrichim shnei edim, because according to the Torah, in a court of Jewish law, one witness is not acceptable in most cases. You must have two witnesses.
Shem keneged shnei habechinoi sanal bois tzadikei,
corresponding to what we mentioned earlier in the previous paragraph about these two prophets, the prophet of doom and the prophet of rebuilding, never to only accept one. And if we accept the prophet of doom, then we have to also accept the prophet who comes, you know, saying that there's going to be a tikkun, a correction.
Haynu bechinas nekudo helyoino unekuda tachtoino bechinas shamayim v'oretz. Lohidia ki malchusei bakoil mashol b'shamayim imal v'oretz mitochas.
Meaning a person's realization that in life, and especially in religion, there's ups and downs. There's heaven and earth. There's heights, a person reaching great heights, and there's a person falling into great depths.
Bechinas im esak shamayim shamatov hatzia shoyl, sheze ikar derech hatshuva shnigmar b'yom ha-kipurim kanal.
This is the essence of the path of tshuva, which Moshe Rabbeinu completed on the day of Yom Kippur.
וזה בחינס ואוידה בומס השמיים וסורץ.
And this is why the prophet says, I take as my witnesses heaven and earth. In other words, to show us this picture, this realization, that a person is always going to find themselves in one of these two places, and whichever place they're in, when a person's feeling high and doing great, not to get overconfident and cocky and thinking, oh, I made it, I'm there already. To know that there's another side, there's a flip side of the coin. And the pendulum swings and the wheel turns. And just because you're feeling great and wonderful and successful right now, it doesn't mean you're going to always feel that way. Things are going to go the other way at times. And when a person finds themselves on the bottom, to have that realization that they're also, person doesn't remain there always, and if a person has the proper faith in Hashem, in the tzaddikim, and in themselves, the person will eventually definitely get to the other side.
V'alkein nitnu shnei luchay suedus b'yom ha-kipurim taiko.
And it's for this reason that Hashem gave us two tablets of testimony on this holiday of Yom Kippur.
כי התוירה בחינה שני לוחי סיידוס הם עדים נאמונים שמזכירים ומזרזים לסודם בכל פעם לבל ישיאי שעצמו מן הרחמים. Because the Torah is written in such a way to give a person, to remind the person and to encourage the person never to give up on Hashem's kindness. כי בשביל זה ניתנו לוחי סיידוס ביום הכיפורים שווי סרוסני המכיל הסליחו יום שניק ברבי הדרך לתשובה. It's for this reason that the Torah was given to us on Yom Kippur, on the day which was established as a day of forgiveness, a day of atonement, a day on which the original repentance of the Jews was completed and accepted. Lehoid liYisrael amitas tuvay v'chasdei yisborach, to testify for the Jewish people regarding the truth of Hashem's goodness and kindness. שהתויר הקטר של לוחי סיידס ניתנו ביום הכיפורים על יסויד זה שכולל שני הנקודות הנ"ל. That the Torah was given to us on Yom Kippur based on this foundation that combines both of these points. היינו, שאף על פי שבוודאי צריכים לזור בנפשי ולשמר את התויר המועיד ושלא ילפגם אפילו פגם כלשהו, meaning that even though a Jew is obligated to be extremely careful to try to keep all the commandments of the Torah the right way to fulfill him and not to commit the slightest, tiniest infraction. Ki betnua kala poigem umakalkel moed kishinoitim iderach haTorah chas v'shalom, because with the slightest move off the right path, a person causes major harm, major destruction. V'adarabah, and not only that, not to stray, not to do harm, but rather a Jew is obligated every single minute to try to climb, to keep advancing and going higher and higher. Bebechinas im esak shomayim shomato, meaning, as this pasuk says, that no matter how high I go, I still see Hashem above me. I see there's still a long way to go. Bechinas nekudo helyoino, afal piken kemoi shetzrichen lahamin boze, shemoivon al divrei Torah poigmen amakalkel moiv v'gormen churban gadol kol olamo is chas v'shalom. Still, just as a Jew is obligated to believe that if they go against the Torah, they're causing major destruction in all the worlds, kemoi kein tzrichen lahamin gam kein lehefech. So too, a person has to believe that the opposite is also true. Sheyesh bekoyach odom lesakein kol ma shepogam, that a person has the ability to correct everything that they've messed up. Ki adayin Hashem imoy v'yetzloy, because Hashem is still with him and next to him, even when he falls. Bebechinas v'atziya sholi neko, bechinas nekuda tachtoino, ki yemino yisporach pshuto tomid liozreinu lo shuvu lekraveinu lev yisporach haidei derech hatshuva shnibra b'yom kippurim. Because Hashem's hand is always stretched out and extended to help us return to him and bring us close to him by following the path of tshuva which was established on Yom Kippur. Shehu biatzmoy koilel hashnei nekudos hanal, which combines both of these aspects, heaven and earth. Sheze ikar derech hatshuva, this is the essence of true tshuva. Rakonot tzrichen losim libeinu lezeh lahamin bezeh b'chol eis, it's just that a person has to realize this and believe in this at all times. Vezeh b'chinas edus Hashem ne'emono machkim aspesi, and this is what the Torah means when it tells us that the testimony of Hashem is trustworthy. It gives clarity. It gives seichel. It gives smartness to those who could be foolish. Ki bemes haTorah Kedusha hiroitza lahachkim afilu esapesi, because the truth is that the Torah wants to give wisdom and knowledge and understanding even to a person who's a fool. Haynu afilu mishekvar nispata achar yitzroi, meaning even a person who allowed themselves to be fooled by their evil inclination, to be seduced. V'nissa l'mokum shenissa, and the person strayed as far as they strayed. Afal pikein ha-toyro machreze sumeida l'fonov. Despite that, the Torah announces and testifies to that person. Shem Yoshuv miyad yekabel Hashem yisborot shuvosei borotzoin v'yikor v'yelov ba'ava gedoyla. That if the person will repent, Hashem will definitely accept their repentance with goodwill, with satisfaction, and Hashem will bring that person close with tremendous love. And the Torah itself testifies to this path of tshuva, to which even a person who has been fooled can come back. The worst obstacle, though, to this is the person's lack of self-confidence. The fact that the person doesn't believe that I have the ability to fix, I have the ability to correct. And it's about this that the pasuk cries out, ki edus Hashem ne'emono, that Hashem's Torah is trustworthy. You can trust every single word in the Torah. Ki bevadai hi ne'emono mo'id be'edus Hashem edus Hashem alchus yisbar b'kol mashoah b'shmayim imal v'alaretz mitochas. Because you can bet that if the Torah says that Hashem is everywhere, in heavens above and in the earth below, in the lowest places, you can bet that that's true. And if you're going to accept the word of the Torah regarding how bad it is to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then how much more so you have to accept what the Torah says regarding a person's ability to correct things and to improve things. Because the rule is always that Hashem's good, the good always exceeds the bad. In other words, Hashem's desire to see our success is always much, much greater than His allowance to allow us to fail. This pasuk is telling us that even though the Jews are waiting many, many long, long days, and we haven't yet seen the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, we haven't yet seen the glory and the success again of the Jewish people. We still have to be firm in our hope. Ki bevadai edus Hashem nemnu moid, that the testimony of Hashem, the words of Hashem's Torah, are very, very trustworthy. And if Hashem says it's going to come to pass, then we know it's definitely going to happen. And just as we see that the words of the prophet that said that we're going to fall and we're going to mess up and we're going to be evicted, all of that came to pass, we have to believe in the same way that all the predictions for the good and success of the Jewish people, all of that is also going to come to pass. We hope to see it in the very near future. At this point, I'd like to open the mics if there's any questions or comments that could be presented either in writing or verbally. That's part of the test of a person. The fact that when a person wants to do tshuva, when a person wants to rebuild, it takes time and it takes patience. And if a person is really sincere, they'll put in the time, they'll be patient, and they'll get to the finish line, they'll succeed. And unfortunately, the people that have failed, usually it's because they couldn't pass that test of time. There's a famous story that Rabbi Nachman once told regarding the associated to the holiday of Pesach, Passover, about a Jew and a Gentile that were serving time together in the army. And the Jewish holiday of Pesach, Passover, was coming. And this Gentile was telling the Jew was saying how he looks forward to this holiday all year, the delicious foods and all the great things that we have on that holiday. And the Gentile was saying, wow, I wish I could have something like that. And the Jew came upon a great idea. How about if I teach you how to behave like a Jew and we'll both go to shul and I'll get us both invited and you'll get to join me in the Seder.
and you'll get to have one of the most fantastic meals you ever had in your entire life. Sure enough, they both go, the Jew prepares him, and they go to shul, they go that night, and turns out that right after they finish praying, people come over to invite them, and they get invited into two different homes. The Jew is invited to one home, the Gentile to a different home. The Jew figures, he'll do okay, he'll make out okay. The Gentile comes to the house, and they start preparing for the Seder, and this Gentile, because he had heard about what a fantastic meal they were going to have that night, he decided he's not going to eat at all that day because he wants to really be able to pack it in. He doesn't want to miss out on anything. So sure enough, he's ravenous by the time he comes to the house, and everything's taking time, all the preparations. Finally, they get ready and they make Kiddush. They have a cup of wine. And then they wash their hands. And then the father gives out a very small piece of vegetable to each member of the table, as is customary on the night of the Seder. And then they perform other ceremonies. And then they start talking. They're reading the Haggadah. And this person's stomach is growling. And he's thinking, he doesn't know if he's going to be able to hold out another minute, and it's another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes, another 20 minutes. Finally, they finish talking, and they bring out these round things that look like something like cardboard, the matzahs. And each person is given a portion of matzah, and he tastes this, and it's a little bit, it's pretty tasteless, no spice, it's not sweet or sour or, and then he figures, that Jew must have played some trick on me. Could be this is the night that the Jews have the greatest suffering of the entire year. They put themselves through incredible suffering. I'm going to give this just one more round. If the next thing they bring out isn't something really delicious and wonderful, I'm out of here. Sure enough, right after the matzah, they bring out the moro, the bitter horseradish. And they give each person some, and he looks at it, and he thinks it's caviar or something, white, powdery stuff. So he takes a nice handful, puts it in his mouth, and his stomach explodes. And he jumps out of the chair, goes running out of the house, runs back to the base, and says, boy, when I get my hands on that Jew, what I'm going to do to him for what he did to me, the suffering he put me through. And sure enough, the Jew shows up about an hour later, singing, comes into the base, singing and happy and smiling, and he sees his friend, the Gentile friend there, and he says to him, wasn't it great? And the guy's looking at him with a very mean, vicious look, and he says, great what? He says, what are you talking about? Wasn't it a delicious meal? Didn't you have the fish and the chicken and the potato? He says, what are you talking about? They didn't give no fish or meat. He says, what do you mean? He says, I'll tell you what happened. I came there, and first they did this, and then they did that, and he starts describing the whole procedure. And the Jew says, go ahead, continue. And then they gave me the matzah and then the mora. And at that point, I just said, I had it, and I left. The Jew says to him, you're so silly. You don't realize that was the end of the bitterness. You had completed all the difficult. The next item that they were going to bring out was going to be the fish and the chicken, all the delicious things. If you just could have waited another few minutes, you would have had the most delicious meal you ever had. It was only because you couldn't hold out another few minutes, you got the bitterness and you didn't stay around for the celebration. And Rabbi Nachman told us as a lesson that each and every single Jew who unfortunately falls and commits sins and wants to find their way back to Hashem in tshuva and repentance, very often they have to go through this type of experience where the repentance requires waiting and patience and some bitterness even. And it's only those that have the patience and the ability to wait and hold out, they get to the spectacular, delicious celebration, which we hope and pray we're going to get to today, Bezrat Hashem. Best wishes for a good week. We'll look forward to meeting again on Sunday, which will be the day after the holiday of Shavuos is over. All the best.
Cool. Or either you call me or I'll call you.
Okay. Okay.